Well, I just wanted to counter that whole discussion there. So, I don't disagree with, like, putting animals to sleep, but I think that's still all of the world, or all of form. So really, if you also just decided you weren't going to put an animal down because you were going to let nature take its course, but you were not doing that from a place of the ego, like, selfish me, I don't want to lose this person or this animal, but, like, just from a place of, like, trusting and, like, letting nature take its course or whatever, mm-hmm. like, if there was that, like, that kind of love that isn't, mm-hmm. like, I'm trying to preserve or hold on to.
Yeah.
To me, either one of those. Yeah. I mean, the world can say what's right or wrong, but, like, really it's about not having, it's like the non-attachment.
The lesson is go to peace. It might be mm-hmm. that. It might be to let it die in your hands. When it takes its last breath is when it takes its last breath. And I'm going to take off every day of work until that happens. Mm-hmm. And I love this moment. I love these last days with my cat. As it coughs up this and that and you have to inject it with the whatever. Sure, Julie.
I don't even have an animal, but I just mean, like,
yeah.
the world will tell you what's right or wrong, but that's still all based on ego, right?
The world will tell you.
You go into peace and coming to that solution that without yes. the attachment to a fixed outcome.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Yes. That's why we're trying to make a distinction between analysis and mm-hmm. your heart. Mm-hmm. Your heart, not, there's no, the world doesn't have a heart.
Right, it has to be from the heart, absolutely.
Well, it's such a better way to live. Well, even if the world says you're dead wrong.
Well, it's such a projection. We project so much on our animals, yeah. or everything.
Hello, oh, there's a voice of experience.
It's like, my God, that is his heart wrenching.
This is a huge voice of experience. I hope you heard yourself. Right?
It'll play back, right?
Yeah. We project, you said, on our animals. Well, that's one of your animals.
I know, he's so good.
I finally got a joke.
Really? Yeah. I miss it. With this is that whenever something like anything serious like that pops up, and I always, of course, I always call it inner vision, the Holy Spirit, but I just go to that voice, and at that point, when something like that's going on, I don't have the answer for that. You know, voice for God, Holy Spirit, inner vision, whatever you want to call it, it will give you, and at that point, I know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. Don't know where it came from, but I know what to do. Mm-hmm. And every time, like my animals, whatever was happening, when I had to put my cat to sleep, okay, I knew it was time. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, I just, you know.
Yeah, the peace came with
that
it.
That is, that work, once you start using, it's easy to work it in that situation.
It's easy to work it when
yeah.
there's a sense of peace present.
Yeah.
And even though it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I have a problem that my mother died, when everything died, I just knew, well, they're all going to die. Mm-hmm. The body's going to die, but I knew they weren't dead.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I had a dog, a little, what was that dog? Shipperkey, they're these black dogs. They're not very big. Mm-hmm. They only come black. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away, oh, that was back at the, I remember he passed away. You know, I had to put him to sleep because he was just, you know, and, but I felt like, oh, well, but anyhow, I drove, also I had a truck back then. Double set, you know, big trailers going down the road. Dog shows up in my car. I'm like, fucking, he's right there jumping around in the car. Like, after I put him the next day, I'm in the truck and here's a freaking dog in my car. I'm like, whoa. You know? But ever since that time and, you know, just reading this stuff, when someone, you know, they're not dead. I don't see anything's dead anymore. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, and our family, my brothers and sisters, didn't have quite as much problem with that, too. It must be something with our family. We're always getting the spiritual stuff. But.
Might be. So let's take a moment to think now. Let's have a little meditation on basically, when does death work?
When
does death actually give you and give something instead of take something?
That's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. How is it? I mean, it exists in this world. If you're going to have some, I mean, just give death a chance.
That's a great bumper sticker.
My girlfriends and I used to get together every Friday and we'd bring something in a brown bag that represented a topic, and one of them is, what did we want on our epitaph? Yeah.
So any topic, no matter what we pick, which tonight we're picking death, there's a way to look at it from the ego's perspective, and there's a way to look at it from the Holy Spirit's perspective. In this particular topic, and probably all of them, But there are different levels of discussion, climbing all the way up to enlightenment, but starting at the very bottom with just choosing peace. Just giving death a chance to not be evil. So pick your level, alright? We'll sit here for a couple of minutes. You can kind of sort your way through, and you can pick your level. What is death good for? When does it work? Is death the one place where God can't come? Where a thought of God can't exist? Is death the ego's ultimate victory? Or can you think of a time when death help with enlightenment? So just pick a word or a phrase. Just even one word if you want. You can come down to a word, a couple of words, of what something that death does that works. It's like not a problem. When is death not a problem? How do you see that? How does death work?
Well, certainly it works when it allows the ego to die.
Yeah.
And it works when we stop judging it as being a problem. We realize death just is part of it. I mean, it's just the body that's dying.
Ego dies, let's go with the first thing you said.
Yeah.
It's about the first thing you said.
Yep.
Because you said it works when the ego dies.
Yeah.
Alright, so that's use of death. Because, as we've said before, I forget who it was. When we did death years ago, and somebody said, I think it might have been you. So, you know, what is death? It was just a meditation on death. And we said, what is it? What is it? What is it? And somebody said, the end. Okay. I asked for a couple of words, right? And that's what I got. The end.
You said it might be you. Were you pointing at Walt?
No, you.
I don't remember saying something. I thought it was someone.
It was somebody sitting next to you.
It might have been.
And so if you can say the end of the ego, that's a great death.
Yeah.
Because the ego is such a troublemaker. Bridget, what is death? Do you want death works? What?
It's a moneymaker.
How so?
Medical, trying to keep people alive.
Yes! Oh my God, the ego loves death. It's good for business.
Or for population control.
Population control, there's another one!
Whether it's rodents, or humans.
God there's death.
When people want to die and get rid of the body that's rotted.
There would be so many people hanging around if not for death.
So it's okay to kill animals off culling.
Uh-huh.
That's handy.
Yeah, we kill weeds.
Just can't let nature run wild. We got it.
Yeah. We kill mosquitoes.
We kill things when we eat that.
Yeah, we want to kill.
Yeah, sometimes we eat.
Kill all the ants off on your counter.
Thank God the death works. Maybe you ate it and it was still alive in you and crawled back out. Oh, I thought I'd shoot that.
That's why the butthole's hanging out there.
Doctor, I got a new problem. Remember last week I got a new one.
That rectum's coming out of it.
Yeah. Julie, when does death work? What's death good for? Tough one.
I don't know that I had an answer to that question. I had some interesting things arise.
Some interesting thoughts.
But I didn't have a direct answer.
Oh, share.
So
share.
Well, I was just thinking about what you've said before about in the present moment you can't even die. And
yes.
And having had a few present moment experiences recently, I just was like pondering that. And then also that what life is. So for me, all of this that is the physical world has this ebb and flow, like, you know, a flower blooms and gets beautiful and then it shrinks and it dies, and you know, a sun explodes and dies, and there's just an ebb and a flow. And so you kind of, at least in these worldly terms, it's just gonna, there's an unfolding that happens that it doesn't have to be sad, scary, like it's all a coming from that same
So death energy. Works when it's part of the unfolding that yeah. folds up into the next flower.
Just that creative energy that's constantly rolling.
Nice, nice.
Period.
Yes. So. Successful life. Mm-hmm. Enfoldment. Unfolding. Enfolding. So you back away from what would be a loss and you see the process. Innocent. Natural. Everything is recycled.
And I've also, like, I don't know, the one time in my life where I almost died on a boat in the ocean, you know, it was like, at first it was very fearful, and then I just was like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to be on this boat for 2 hours with waves that are like 20 feet above the boat, and I could do nothing. I could do nothing. So mm-hmm. I just surrendered completely to it. And I think that it's a very interesting thing that I, like, get so wrapped up and the stupid things that happen at work, but I can just be total at peace, like, okay, the boat's going to capsize now. Yeah. And it was so factual. It's like, okay, and it's going to yeah. capsize. Am I going to try to get out or not?
Hey,
was,
I'm telling you.
There was no emotion.
There's a great example, Julie. Let's look at that right now. Because when I say mm-hmm. big things you got handled, Course in Miracles is going to come to your rescue now on the little thing about whether or not you made it to the meeting on time. Or that person spelled your name correctly. Damn it, don't I matter enough that they could spell my name right? That kind of thing, really, is where the ego's working. Not whether you're going to survive. Isn't it true, Julie? Mm-hmm. And you'll remember that. You'll see that in the book where it says, you know, now mm-hmm. that you've had some awakening about the power of your mind and the general nature of everything, and that love is, now that you've got some clue there, it's the little thing. That need forgiveness. Not the big ones. Oh man, there's a lot of little things. Kenny, what's yeah. something about death that works?
Well, the one word was freeing.
Freeing.
Freeing. So, after thinking for a while, it's my awareness of my attachment to the people that are dying. And my cat got me thinking about my high school friends. Mm. So I typed in, oh, obituary. Oh, Ted's not here anymore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I worked at a funeral home when I was in college.
Oh, you did?
In Ohio. And it was a really hot day. And the two guys that run the funeral home say, you know, I think our business is going to pick up today.
Oh, what?
Because old people don't have air conditioning in the 50s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it a good funeral home?
Yeah.
A popular place?
It was popular.
People were just dying to get in.
Yeah.
You just got a second joke.
So the memory of attachment to people, that it's freeing.
Mm-hmm. It's freeing.
Yeah, it is.
What after it happens, yeah. for sure. Yeah. Once you accept, dead.
Yeah.
There is something very simple about that inevitability. Very freeing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah, the Course says when you're free, when your mind is free, you will put the body down.
Yeah.
Like a coat that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do this.
I've been with a couple of people that were dying and died.
Yes.
And, they review things. And
yes.
And there is an acceptance, I think, in some of the people. Like, my neighbor, Eve, she told me she thought her husband was going to die first. You know, and there was another message underneath that, that I think that she was accepting what was happening to her. So the, but the body goes, I want more oxygen.
My dad said he was ready to die 3 years before he died because it was getting bad. And I said, Dad, well, you know, let's talk about this because it's getting rough here. And, you know, are you ready? Because this may happen. He said, you know, Andrew, I'm ready. But they saved him and we saved him and he didn't die and he kept going. And, well, Dad, that was a close one. But are you ready for the... Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. But then the body wanted some oxygen. And he couldn't breathe. I'm not ready! I didn't say, give me the hospital! Stop this! I'm worried! Give me the hospital right away! I'm not ready!
The body just...
The body really wants to breathe. It's not... It's the opposite of what you said. Which is, death is not accepted or happened. And it's the opposite of being free. Is needing to breathe. Choking. His lungs were shutting down. And he couldn't get that breath. But all he could think about, and he was making this horrible wheezing noise, trying to breathe. The harder he would try, the less air he would get. Scary. Very scary way to go. Yep, what a contrast. It would take a lot of awareness to make it through that kind of excitement with the body. To be free. To be free. But you know, that's what his journey was there for. Most people don't go through that. But that's for him. You get the contrast was really drawn there. I asked him a couple of times, and maybe he did too. Maybe he asked himself after I asked him, am I really ready? Yeah, I'm ready. You know what? I've done it all. I'm good to go. I'm ready. He's very comfortable when he said it. He says, I've done everything I want to do. When it happens, it happens.
Well, do you think it's easier said than done?
When the body starts to need oxygen.
I mean, it's easy to say, but when it comes down to it.
That's why we need to study this material fast and hard while we can. Because you'll notice when your life gets difficult, you tend to study the course a little less. And when your life is really, really happy, you tend to study the course a little less. There's kind of a sweet spot when you actually spend time with course seriously. And it's not the happiest moments of your life, necessarily, right? A lot of times it's not. A lot of times I need a little pick-me-up, and I know I shouldn't feel bad. Oh, I'm going to do my course really sincerely. Is when most people will actually study this stuff and work it.
Is that what the five-year period that you keep talking about?
Yeah, the five-year period comes. And, yeah, you bet. It's just a little depression happens around this whole effort, and then it's gone by years.
Five years, you get...
And about 5 years, between 4 and 6 years, I found a lot of people will lose interest in the course, even put it down. And they start looking elsewhere, and they want the answers, and they want the fix that they thought they would have by now. But here I am at 5 years, and I'm not enlightened. What the hell? That happens. And then you go around and you go search and think and look and try, but something pulls you back to where your heart and your mind were touched so deeply as somewhere along the journey of those first 5 years.
Yeah, with that thing we're talking about, because sometimes you're doing it and going, every once in a while you go, what am I doing here? You go, what are you truly doing? But no matter what, I just keep going back to the course. I can't. I do that every day. I can't not. Yep. Shit's nasty and bad or whatever. Sometimes I don't have time. I might skip a day, but no matter what, it's like, it's just.
You might need a reminder.
I don't see it as something you get in 5 years. I see that you do your life. And when you be lucky, you can be ascend when you die.
This is what you learn to know. After the 5 years, you come to know that in your heart and mind.
Yeah. Of course, I've been doing this kind of stuff for so long.
You've seen a lot of other stuff already.
Yeah. I got to a point in one of my classes that I just goes, like, what? What's now? I got to do something different. And I just kind of try to go away from spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
Can't really do it. Mm-hmm. Once you make a, because in that class I made a decision, that's what I'm going to do. So I got to the point where I got to find something else.
Yeah.
It just, I was like, I got to get back. So then I go find whatever it was. Yeah. I got into the Toltec stuff where I started learning about the dream.
If it's your path,
yeah,
you won't wander away from it for long.
No.
That's the point.
And I have excuses like, oh, this girlfriend's causing all the problem or whatever.
I'm telling you.
Ego will
try to find ways to pull you away. But your Holy Spirit will use that journey off of the path. And it will use it and bring you even more awakening.
Yeah, I had that for quite a while.
You're not abandoned.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And after you've done it, then you go, oh, wow.
You abandoned, but you were not abandoned.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, tell me something about when death works.
When death works?
Yeah, I mean, because when would death actually be a benefit?
I can't answer that question. But I was thinking along the lines of death is not just an event.
Uh-huh.
It's not a one-time thing.
Uh-huh.
Lesson 163.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the first paragraph, death is a thought that takes on many forms, mm-hmm. often unrecognized. It may appear as sadness, fear, anxiety, or doubt, as anger, faithlessness, and lack of trust. Concern for bodies, envy, and all forms in which the wish to be as you are not may come to tempt you.
Yeah.
So death is this... It's continuous. It's every moment.
Mm-hmm.
What we decide, can we accept, or can we accept our experience, or do we have to reject our experience?
Mm-hmm.
And when we reject our experience,
uh-huh.
we are dying.
Yes. Or when you wish to be as you are not,
yeah.
seeing lack. That's death. When you wish to be. So fantasy. So when it exposes your fantasy. When it exposes your false identity. You dreaming you are some way different than you are.
Well, the fantasy isn't going as you want it to.
Yeah. Boy. But death is good when you... And you recognize that that's what's going on. It's a lie, isn't it?
163.
Yeah. Nice, potent discussion. Holy Spirit, on the ego's terms, is this going to be continued chaos and disappointment and depression? With the Holy Spirit perspective, there's a healing here from seeing the fantasy. Even a very sick fantasy, that if you got what you were trying to get, you would not be happy. That's another huge awakening around some of the things brought up in that lesson. Like, oh. And Jesus says, you know you're trying really hard to get something you don't want? I know that. You're going to learn this. It's one of the great lessons of A Course in Miracles. To be able to admit, to see the whole world, this whole living in a body and time and space, and how hard we've tried to get something we actually don't want.
But in that moment we're going downhill, and that's such an easy...
Momentum. Right? It's easy now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay, it's easier to go downhill. Just like a bicycle rider. The bicycle rider speaks about going downhill. He missed his turn, but God, going downhill is easy. It was so hard pedaling up to get here, but they just relax for a while and go so much further than I need to go. I'll pedal back up later. Well, man, what's something about death that works?
I had a really hard time because I couldn't define death to start with.
Okay.
So now you've given me a definition.
Nice.
So, but what I came up with was, I've had about 5 or 6 of my relatives die, including I'm the oldest of three. I have 3 younger brothers. My oldest of those 3 died when he was 37. He died because he made a choice of taking care of himself or not, physically. Mm-hmm. He had a disease or an illness that could have killed him, or it could have been saved him, and he chose to get his master's degree instead of take care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather died at 97, 1 week before my brother, and I always thought he chose to do it. He went to bed one night and he chose.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he chose to do it so he could help my brother transition. That's what it felt like to me.
It would work. It paid. The door was open.
That's what it felt like to me.
Sure.
My mother struggled against dying until she was 97, but when she finally did, she died in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband, my stepfather, took another 9 months, and he died because he no longer had a purpose. I feel like everybody I know that has died, one way or another, has died because they chose to. So for me,
so freedom.
Yeah, it's
an act of freedom, an act of powerful freedom.
It's kind of like a lesson, and I have the choice, and I'm taking it, and it's working.
I have the power of God to.
I have the power of God, he says.
No, the power of God to let my body go.
A massive change, even to. So maybe God could make life. I'm not sure how to make life, except for maybe trying to have a baby. But then there's so many mysteries with that. So does that really work when you had a baby? So I made that. But death. Could you stop a life early? Wouldn't that give you the same power to make a life in a way? I mean, you know, I can stop it. I'm powerful.
It's like, you know, people when they get upset with someone in authority, their reaction is to, oh, I didn't, or if they're fired from a job, well, I didn't want that job anyway. Or
yeah,
some
story.
It's some
yes.
Contrary.
Well, that's not exactly the kind of choice I'm talking about, I don't think. Okay. It feels like I'm ready. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And I'm choosing.
Yeah. Freely.
It feels like freely.
Freely.
Freely choosing.
Not under duress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother didn't die under duress. I mean, he died, but he didn't seem to be under duress.
So let's pick up some Jesus comments about what the man's talking about. Turn to workbook, page 318. 318. At the bottom of the page it says 318 in the workbook. In the lessons. Don't go to the workbook. Go to the lessons. I almost forgot. You reminded me.
Are you making fun of me? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay, David, you start reading for us lesson 167. And,
that I share with God.
There is one life, and that I share with God. That's the one.
There are no different kinds of life. The life is like the truth. It does not have degrees. It is the one condition in which all that God created share. Like all his thoughts, it has no opposite. There is no death because what God created shares his life.
One strike of the hammer on the nail.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah. There is no death because an opposite of God does not exist.
Second strike of the hammer on this point. With an absolute authority. Please continue.
There is no death because the Father and the Son are one.
Just in case you needed more discussion and absoluteness, he strikes the nail again to drive it flat. Please continue.
Next?
Yes, next.
In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. You call it death. Yet we have learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It is the one idea which underlies all feelings that are not supremely happy. It is the alarm to which you give response to any kind that is not perfect joy. all sorrow, loss, anxiety, and suffering, and pain, even a little sigh of weariness, a slight discomfort, or the merest frown, acknowledge death, and thus deny you live.
Isn't that what Walter was talking about? When he read what death was.
Mm-hmm. Are we continuing this section?
Yes, hold on a second. I just wanted to make a note here. This is a nice, this has got some meat for us here. We have learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It's the one idea which underlies all feelings that are not supremely happy. They're all death. Oh, that's cruel.
I'm kidding.
Look, is that where the bar is that Jesus is drawing? No, it didn't say comfortable. No. Not good. not helpful. No. Supremely happy means that you're actually doing your work.
You're alive.
You're alive if you're supremely happy.
Ruh-roh.
Well done, Walt. That's Jesus drew that bar there. He says if you're not supremely happy, you are engaging in death. Whoa!
We're all walking around. We're all zombies.
Well, I don't know about all, but yeah.
Well, hold your finger here, and let's look where he makes the same point a couple hundred pages earlier, when you were barely able to get it, where you weren't able to get it probably the first time through. Turn to work, keep your finger there now, workbook page 32. Way back in lesson 21, bottom of the page says 32.
So glad you said it with a lesson also.
Oh yeah. In paragraph 2, last sentence. One of these interesting facts about no orders of difficulty. Page 32.
Nice try.
What? Twingle. You will become increasingly aware that is a slight twinge.
A little twinge. Yeah. Oh, that way. A little bite. The world bites you just a little bit. It was a little uncomfortable that somebody left the door open. It was a little uncomfortable that Bridget brought the car back with no gas in it. But you know, we have gas in the barn. It's not that bad. A little twinge. Yeah. You become increasingly aware of the slight twinge of annoyance. Is nothing but a veil drawn over intense fury.
Doesn't sound like supremely happy, does it?
That's not supremely happy. In fact, it's right on the edge. It's paragraph 2, last sentence. You're right on the edge of an explosion. No, it wasn't a big deal. She brought the car back without gas. Even though we've talked about it so many times. It's so cute when she does that. I'm glad she got home on time without having to go to the gas station. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I said it's fine. It's fine. Little twinge, right? Slight annoyance. No. A veil over intense fear. That's how close we are.
Kind of like, I'll forgive it this time.
Well, you also bottle things up in the world. Like, oh, you just kind of let it go this time and that time. Pretty soon you're like,
yes.
Yes.
Is that you're never upset for the reason?
Intense fury.
Look at text page 496, paragraph 1, sentence 10 on 496 in the text. Almost 500. It's 496. It's paragraph one. It's above the battleground, right? Sentence 10. What does that say? Kenny, what does that one say?
Here stands the body torn between the natural desire.
Wait, 496, sentence 10.
Here stands the body.
Okay, forget. Oh, you keep working on that.
What is not love is murder.
What is not love?
No.
Are you on page 496?
Yeah, but I was reading them paragraph 6. But yeah.
Oh, all right, this is a paragraph 2. I like that paragraph. That's keep down to paragraph 1 at the bottom.
Torn between natural and desire.
Okay, now go to the bottom of the page. Because you got to see that in print.
Yeah.
You know, I say this, but sometimes it helps to see it. So you know, I'm not making it up.
That way we have to believe it.
You have to read it.
True.
Yeah. What do you have to highlight it right now? Look. What kind of highlighter? What kind of highlighter is that? That's not even highlighted. One of the most impressive phrases in the whole book. Very short sentence. What is not love is murder. Whoa, does that set the bar?
Highlighted.
What?
Mine's highlighted because we've been here before.
I know. What? So, this is the bar that Jesus is setting because of his awareness. And Walt says, we're all zombies. If you want to be alive from the perspective of the awakened mind, we call that Jesus. If you want to be alive, you would have to be, you would be supremely happy. He says anything less than supreme happiness is death. So no wonder he says here, he says, well, what's not love? Well, it's murder. Obviously. From his perspective. That's where your enlightened mind, the right mind, goes. Simple, yes.
So I get that the absolutisms are like what makes the course simple, because it's not like you said, like you need to remember to do it this way so many times and that way so many times. But those three pages you just took us to, it's like the bar is kind of high, and it feels like well, I might not even try. Yeah, it's just...
Well, that's true. You might not even try because the bar is so high. However, because you've come this far... I don't show this to people who just start the course. Mm-hmm. We just go read right past it. But because of where you are now...
In your fifth year.
In your fifth year.
I think I just hit that depression.
Oh.
Thanks, Andrew.
And where Walt is now.
In my fifth year.
Yeah. From where Walt is now, this is very important. This is very usable.
So if you guys don't show up, I might come knocking on your door.
No, I've already passed that.
He disappeared for a while. He got gripped out and came back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did his sabbatical. Well, you might not even try, Julie says. This is so high, I might not even try. And if you were successful in getting away from the course, you'd be disappointed that everything else was so low. Everything else is so much easier than A Course in Miracles. And you won't be satisfied there. He knows it. He's already done all those other paths. And they were cool and interesting, and he's got things on his walls and framed pages from his other books that he loved it. I've been to your house. I don't know any of that stuff. I made all that up.
Well, I just got finished. I had 5 bookcases, solid. Just and at my at my desk, there'd be like 3 boxes piled up of stuff I'm reading at the moment. Now I'm down to 2 bookcases. So I just
What do you want? What do you expect from your spiritual journey?
What saves me so far is every time it says, "You're not there yet. Don't worry about it."
Yep.
What
do you want from your spiritual journey?
Freedom.
Freedom! Thank you. What else do you want from your spiritual journey?
I want to know there's a end point or a goal. And I'm going toward that.
And I heard you say you recognize you're not even alive yet. You might even like to be alive. Really alive. I just recognize I'm a zombie, I heard you say.
But just knowing that is critical.
Yeah. Mm. From Jesus' standpoint, he says, you're dreaming of death. You're dreaming of being dead. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to help you wake up and write this whole book, and there'll be lessons. And you can tell, he's having a good time. By the time he gets into the second half of the workbook, everything rhymes. Everything counts out, the whole thing, every sentence, every lesson title, you'll realize that Jesus is like biding his time with the words and stuff. He's really got it.
Well, and that where we just read, what is not love is murder, if you go to number 7 in there, in that same paragraph.
Yes.
You are not asked to fight against your wish to murder, but you are asked to realize the form it takes conceals the same intent.
Very nice.
You are not asked to fight against your wish to murder.
Uh-huh.
Kind of helps you there.
That kind of helps. You can have those stinking thoughts.
Softens a little. That tells you what murder is, right? All your thoughts kind of leads up to it. Yeah. How do you murder? Your attack thoughts.
Yeah, that's right, your attack thoughts. Honestly? Yeah. Even the little attack thoughts?
Even. Most projections?
That little twinge,
all projection
of annoyance. That innocent little twinge of annoyance.
And the poor kitty, making her lesson perfect. Poor kitty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's not loving; it's murder.
Something occurs to me. It's like as soon as I asked the question,
yes,
actually, like occurred to me that when I said, why would one even try it? It's like, it's already shit.
That's right.
It's already shit. So
what have I got to lose?
What have I got
I'm not going to more shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go rest in shit.
You're already on that boat with 20-foot waves, right?
Because it's already doesn't work, so there's nothing. Yeah, yeah.
Up is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
If it's steep, it's steep. I just know I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go down. I know what down's like, and not go down. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. Every time I've stepped up, it's been better.
Yeah.
But only every single freaking time. How do I possibly manage to forget? I don't know. But every time I've chosen to go up and take a bigger perspective, it's paid off in either peace or outright joy, if not laughter.
Yeah.
And this is as high as I've ever seen. This shows a staircase that goes and goes and goes up, 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 up. I thought I'd seen the whole staircase when I was in year 5. I went out and looked for other staircases, other higher teachings from maybe Buddha was before Jesus, so I'll study that guy. Wow. I came back, A Course in Miracles, completely rewritten end to end. By the time I came back, it was a whole new book. But that there's more in here than I thought. Yeah. What's not love is murder is pretty radical, steep commentary.
My goal in doing this is to know, to experience the love I am.
Mm-hmm.
Good. We're doing this to ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This may apply to this subject. A few years ago, the bike that I had at the time was borrowed. And I didn't...
When you said borrowed, you had a little air quote there. Did you steal it? You mean borrowed?
Well, it was borrowed. You know, someone needed it more than I did.
Oh, it was borrowed from you?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I did not...
You lent it.
I accepted that. Yeah. I lent it not knowing that's what I did, but yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
And I accepted that. It was gone. Okay. And I just walked away from that, from where I parked it.
Aha.
Made a U-turn, walked away, and didn't think about a loss. But the next day, where I lived at the time, I had to walk through San Lorenzo Park to get anywhere. San Lorenzo Park is a place where a lot of homeless people and stolen items are. So I was walking on the path, And while I was walking, I had a fantasy that I saw a guy with my bicycle. And at the time, I had a pruning saw, sharp. I mean, this, you know, could cut this post here in seconds. Mm. And I walked toward, you know, and I was just visual. I was fantasizing this, and I walked toward this person. And it's a retractable nut, boy, and I pulled it out, and I was, had it, you know, up like this. I was about ready to just, you know, just cut his head off.
Yeah.
And I dropped the knife because I knew that that was that act of hurting someone that seriously was tantamount to wishing to hurting myself. To killing myself, to even more than that, to erasing my very existence.
Yeah, very good.
And somehow my feet kept on walking to where I was going. I had no idea. I mean, I'm so involved in this fantasy.
Yeah.
And and I dropped the knife or the saw.
Yeah.
And I just went, whew, this society.
Wow.
That I understood that desire to just kill someone else.
Yes.
It was all about me.
Yes.
I'm wanting to erase my existence. That I felt so bad about myself.
If you could erase him, if that were to happen, you also could be erased.
Oh yeah, I mean I would have been. Yeah.
And actually, you would have been is the miracle that you would recognize that. It's very good advance. Yeah. Shared experience, making murder, making death real, means it's real for you. And actually, you would be proving the end of your existence by ending another one. That whole circle was before you, and it sounds like you really felt it. It's a little lesson there. Yes. Yep. A little denial of death. Denial of the dreaming of death, actually, is what happened. You didn't open a new level of death. Death is already existing, even as the concept, but with that dream of slashing that person, it was an invitation for you to take on a whole new dramatic celebration of death, idolization of death, and you did not go there. So note, this is not light. You felt it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it to me.
To you! Mm. Excellent. Excellent. Wow. Mm. That's good.
So, okay, so from that one, the idolization of death, I love that phrase. And it kind of is like when we're not supremely happy, that's what we're doing.
That's it.
And every funeral is a celebration of death, in a way.
Yep. What Luann's pointing out is that she's going to your funeral every time she's not supremely happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That window isn't quite clean, is it? The one you just cleaned. Oh, I'm not going to bother with that. It was so hard getting the ladder out. I put the squeegee away, but also it's too high to reach anyway. I might fall and hurt myself. I'm just going to deal with that. I'm going to leave that smudge there for another year. That's a funeral. That's a funeral. Isn't it? A little death going on there. A little lack. A little suffering for a year. So you can get Kenny to climb up there and clean it. Next year. Won't be this year, because Kenny would say, "You just cleaned that." I know, but I didn't. Oh my God.
I better look somewhere else.
I better look somewhere else.
I imagine my window isn't very high and I'm ignoring it.
Look somewhere else.
Okay. Back to page 318 in the workbook.
I think it was me.
I took my finger out.
Well, there's one more. Are we in paragraph 3? You read, mm-hmm. you read 2? Mm-hmm.
Before you start, let me look at this other page for a second. Let's see.
We are supreme ones, Captain. We just don't know.
What's there?
Blocks.
Mm-hmm. Blocks.
You always get what you want.
You know, in my class, say sometimes I wish I'd just be dead, or I wish I were dead. I say, well, actually, I don't think that's true. You probably would be.
Okay. In that case, we are going to go to page 104 after that comment. Thank you very much. You channeled the Holy Spirit to help guide us.
Oh, okay.
To take one more distraction.
104.
Turn to page 104 in the text in front of the book. 104. Yeah, this. I don't know how we read past this, because you see, well, we never read this in this group.
No.
I started the meeting after this a couple chapters after this evening.
After chapter 6.
Yeah, I took it over. I don't know, chapter 12 or something. Maybe.
Oh.
So yeah, we. So this is the first time we've looked at this in this group.
How come I have highlights all over it?
You read the book. You're like, wow, this is good.
No, but my highlights, the only time I did that was when I was in this room.
Well, we may have gone over the section then. Sounds like we did. Look at A, bottom of the page, paragraph 1, sentence 1 at the bottom of the page. It says, when your body and your ego and your dreams are gone. When your body and your ego and your dreams are gone. Get it? Death, gone. You will know then that you will last forever. This makes a book you want to read. Especially after what Luann said. Is there more? Yeah, there's like it's almost 1,000 pages. It's 1,000 pages more. 1,100 more pages, and this is, wow, I gotta read this some more. But look, if he says this is the lessons of the Holy Spirit, to have, give all to all. That does not make sense to the ego. And he says, you know what? He's going for it. These first 9 chapters have some pretty radical stuff in them. When your body and your ego and your dreams are gone, you will know. Wait, body, ego, dreams, won't I be dead? Won't I be gone?
Exactly.
But you know what? You knew this was a spiritual book, so you're not surprised when you see these things. Okay, we're talking my spirit, right? You will know that you will last forever.
See, that line scared me a little bit.
Yes.
Because I wanted to know that I was love and only love in the body.
I know. That's why you got the right book in your lap. Because if you read this, the contrapositive, the other way, as your body and your ego and your dreams persist, you will believe you do not last forever. And you will die. And Walt's dream of killing was proof that he would die. If he followed that dream, that was somehow beneficial.
But that later in the book, though, it says you can reach a state where God can reach down for you.
Yep, take the last step.
And take the last step still in your body.
Oh, sure. Anytime, as soon as your mind is ready.
As soon as your mind is ready is the key.
Yeah, but if you're fixated in body and ego and dreams that have to do with your ego and your body, death is a part.
Okay, so
death is a reality. In fact, it kind of helps frame things. Death is kind of a motivator for the ego. Well, don't die. Don't do that. You could die. Oh, okay.
Very noisy voice.
Perhaps you think that this is accomplished through death. Perhaps you think that you will find out that you'll last forever by dying. So commit suicide now. Kill the thing that's in the way. If it's the body that's in the way, kill it. Commit suicide. Jump into forever. Why wait? He says, "What? Not, whoa, 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 whoa. Not so fast, grasshopper. Wait a minute. You little ego you." He says, "But nothing is accomplished through death. Well, because death is nothing."
Well, that's why when we were doing the meditation, I said, I don't know the definition of death.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it had one.
Uh-huh. Sure. So like I said, there's lots of ways to look at this death word. Lots of ways, from very mechanical to very spiritual. And it depends on which one you pick. All of us are capable of picking both ends of the spectrum.
And we're capable of picking every level, too.
And you can swim through them all. That's why I didn't have too long for meditation, because we'd all end up going all over the place. Everything is accomplished through life. And life is of the mind. Wait. Not life is not in the body. It's of the mind. And life is in the mind. Of course. Remember that the truth is invisible. If you can see it, you need a miracle, because you're using your eyes instead of vision. You've gone right back into the darkness. If you're looking for love, trust, joy in what you can see, and that's what we've said before, if you're looking for life, you will not find life in the flower. Don't all flowers die?
As far as I know.
Every one I've ever seen die. You will not find life in the flower. You will find life in your mind. If you're looking for life and proof of life in a dream of death, you'll be constantly disappointed, and you'll keep searching and searching and not finding. If you look for love in a place that actually operates on hate, special love, you will seek and seek and you will not find it.
The book says you are the thing you seek.
You are the thing you seek. So if you keep seeking outside of you, you'll never find it! You'll never find it! You know, when another mental picture analogy I like around that concept, you are the thing you seek. Jewel. Imagine a huge jewel of many facets on it. You're one of those facets. And you're looking out. Can you see a diamond? You see a diamond in your mind's eye? If you're on the face of the diamond on one facet and you're looking out, you do not see the diamond. You see all the space and stuff. If you were to turn around 180 degrees, you facet you, what would you see then?
The hole.
What do you see, Julie? If you're the diamond, now you're looking in instead of out. What do you see? If you really study the diamond.
My connection to all of it. And that I'm a diamond.
You're going to see the diamond. You're going to see your connection. Because you'll see other facets of the diamond. And you'll say, I'm one of those facets. I am a facet of the jewel. Now I'm looking in. And think about this. And go look at a diamond next time. They're all cut this way for a good reason, for light refraction and everything. Each facet can and does face every single other facet. There would be a dark spot in the diamond if it didn't. So they're cut so that the light can equally exit any and every point, and it does all the time. Every single facet leaks the light that comes in any single facet. You get it? Cool. It's an interesting little analogy that you might need. So when you turn around, it's the same thing we do with our spiritual awakening. When we come back in to the atonement, we recognize our part. We see our connection to everything else. We actually are bringing some of the light in. And we now recognize every other facet in our cooperation. It's wonderful. Cool, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came to be in meditation one day. I was like, whoa! My mind was exploding with that analogy. Okay. The body neither lives nor dies because it cannot contain you. Well, you who are life. If we share the same mind, you and Jesus, you and the awakened mind, you can overcome death because I did. Did it, been there, done that. Overcame death. There it is, in black and white. The same voice that says, God, you know what? I've been there, and I recognize that if it's not supremely happy, it's death. If it's not love, it's murder. You're actually destroying your happiness. He says, you got it.
If it's not love, it's murder because you're not living.
Yeah, and you're not. You're separated instead of joining. Love is joining.
You're not looking in the dark.
Sharing. Murder is dividing off a part with a saw.
You know, you can boot.
Death is an attempt to resolve conflict with a pruning saw by not deciding at all. It's because, you know, he's talking from a high level, so when he says deciding, he means a lot more than just picking whether or not to kill that person. You decided by not killing. You actually decided with a capital D. Well, you saw the reflection and you shared for a moment what you were doing. It's very good. Like all the other impossible solution, the ego attempts, it will not work. What will not work? Death will not work to bring you happiness, and enlightenment, and a forever feeling.
No, because it's a thought that's in your mind, and you can't get away from it until you get away from it.
And it's a thought in your mind that is an end thought. It's an end thought, not a forever thought.
Well, it's forever if you don't...
Not existing forever?
It's forever if you don't flip that thought.
You gotta flip that thought.
Yeah.
You gotta flip that thought. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There are 100 passages we can go to, but we're down to only 6 minutes. So let's go back to our generous lesson from Jesus on page 318 in the workbook and continue reading Julie number 3.
You think that death is of the body, yet it is but an idea. Irrelevant to what is seen as physical.
Oh man, gotta stop you there because we're running out of time. Remember I told you that the truth is invisible? Mind is one of the highest used, mind and thought, I think it's within the top 5 highest used words in the entire book. Because that's where life is. That's actually where love is. That's actually where you are. Being here in a visible space is a veil between you and the truth. So it will always be frustrating. Will always be unsatisfying. Door A is through your mind. Door B is through the world and the body and making some difference out there.
Go to door A. Use your mind.
Please continue.
A thought is in the mind. It can then be applied as mind directs it. But its origin is where it must be changed if change occurs. Ideas leave not their source.
Okay, we got to stop there too, just for a second, and look at those huge sentences, which one day, one month, 1 6-week period, when we get there, we're going to be talking about cause and effect. It's all we're going to talk about. Is we're going to really, really, really feel and know and understand this cause and effect idea as a way to spiritually awaken. And look at these couple of sentences right there that she just read. She said, a thought is in the mind. It can be applied as the mind directs it. But, which means forget everything I just said. Record scratch. Hit the brakes. Pay attention. The origin of the thought, that's where the thought must be changed. Ego would love to go beyond it and go work with the effects of the thought and make changes there. Like what you said to me last week and I didn't like it. Well, I'm going to heal our relationship by going to what you said and pick you apart by it and make you say you're sorry. I'm so far away from the origin of that terrible phrase that stained our relationship. Ego loves that game, Luann. You will not find peace by diverting.
So the origin, the thought itself?
Exactly.
Every thought's got origin. You got it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not the symptom. It's the,
right?
Where it started in the separation. The
symptoms can look all sorts of what's not the source.
The judgment.
Swear word judgments.
The immediate instantaneous reaction that you have where you assign meaning to something. Yes? No?
No. But that's part of the process of where you get away from the origin by assigning meaning and either program. Maybe I misunderstood your words too.
No, go for
it. Where you start to, with meaning comes judgment. And a perception of what this was. But when you go to the source, it turns out when we talk about Course in Miracles source, there's either love or fear. If the source is fear, well, it's murder. Whatever it is, I don't care where it goes. Whatever meaning you try to give to it, it was just fear. Like David was talking about way earlier. He used to be, look at those nature shows, and it was just violent. It was so stressful. Some little furry, cute little thing was gonna get killed. It was uncomfortable. But Walt says, you know, there's a way to embrace that whole thing. And David says, yeah, I do that now. He says, I can watch those shows and just see the dance going on. And, you know, Bridget says, well, the wolf's got pups too. Because the source of the thought was not fear, it was love. When you switch it to the only other choice, every thought has only two possibilities. Only one of which is true and valuable. Love is true and valuable. Fear is just a call for that love, but it's a diversion from it. Yeah.
Thank you. Because I thought we were still going to be talking about form. It's not about, like, because I was thinking, why are you saying the source is like the stolen bike? But you're actually talking about the perspective that you're even moving through this world with.
There you go. There you go. Yes,
the perspective. It's going to, if that perspective is going to, thoughts are going to come from that perspective.
There's
a part of this book where it's like your teacher's either the ego or spirit.
Yes.
And you're holding the hand of one or the other, walking down the road.
Yes, that's it. You got it.
Still not about form.
Not about form. So we'd have to go and change the perspective in order to change the thought. What's all another form, word for change?
All form is symbolic.
All form is symbolic. Very symbolic. Good. So very good.
So
that's
that
right.
Person that I was going to slash.
Right.
That was me.
You got that. Mm-hmm. You saw the reflection. That's absolutely right. What's another word for changing the perspective?
Miracle.
A miracle. Now you got it. You really do have to go to the miracle to make changes, Julie. Forgiveness is not enough. Forgiveness is not enough.
I just want to say one thing about this. For me, the source is the Holy Spirit, so I have to go there every time to find out what source I want to have.
Holy Spirit's not a source.
Well, it's a voice for God, so I feel like that's it's coming from the source.
A voice for the source.
Yeah,
voice for the source. It's not a source.
Well, I know, but it tells me what the source is.
Just so that we can play with the words a bit, because you have to get used to getting facility with the actual terms will help you to understand the book better.
Well, you just gave me a definition in a CD, so I will...
That will help.
I'll be listening to it.
Homework!
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's good, though, because then you can take this Holy Spirit and recognize that it doesn't give you anything. Holy Spirit doesn't make anything. You gotta understand as you read it. It makes the Holy Spirit. Well, we can't diverge too much into that conversation right now. We gotta stay focused. But isn't that fun? Yeah, I know. There's so much. I gotta write a book.
You should. You should. You can get it published. They publish books right in Bookshop Santa Cruz. I just saw that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you can publish your own book. I think it's great.
Just gotta write it.
Let's do it.
It'd be so handy to get somebody.
Just gotta write it now.
I know. maybe
it's your spare time.
Maybe the weekend. Yeah, before dinner on Sunday. Yeah, because there's so many of these big concepts now that really need, that aren't the description pithy like we cover here is not written anywhere. Even in those terms, there's like seven levels of teaching in that. It's one page. Each of those 14 terms is 14 pages in the workbook. One single page. It's chocked with levels of understanding. So it can be a bit blurry. But then every time you read it, you go, oh, I got something else this time.
Yes.
So
those are amazing pages.
What page are we going to get?
Okay. 318.
318 in the workbook. And let's just
paragraph
read.
3?
Yeah, I think Julie was not done reading.
I was not. But do you feel like you've...
You can finish that.
You want me to finish? Okay.
Yeah. Back, read the whole paragraph.
Okay. You think that death is of the body, yet it is but an idea, irrelevant to what is seen as physical. A thought is in the mind. It can then be applied as mind directs it. But its origin is where it must be changed, if change occurs. Ideas leave not their source. The emphasis this course has placed on that idea is due to its centrality in our attempts to change your mind about yourself, like Walt was saying. It is the reason you can heal. It is the cause of healing. It is why you cannot die. Its truth established you as one with God.
I'm just going to leave it alone and not comment. But I want you to have a Kenny or Walt.
Yeah.
You get good go. Kenny, bring it.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Death is the thought that you are separate from your Creator. It is a belief. Conditions change. Emotions alternate because of causes you cannot control. You did not make. And you can never change. It is a fixed belief. Ideas can leave their source and take on qualities the source does not contain, becoming different from their own origin, apart from it in kind as well as distance, time and form.
Separation.
Separation works great for that. Okay, well, bring us, we're out of over time. Just bring us one more. This whole entire lesson 167 is fascinating, and maybe we'll read it later, or we'll cover it again some other day. We will. I keep thinking somebody's going to have some death in there, and the whole meeting will become lesson 167. It will. Somebody will have some death or murder, or something will happen, and we'll come here. But if that happens in your life, come here.
It happened to me today.
Come here.
I was in an accident. I wasn't in it. I saw an accident, and a woman was laying under, absolutely still under a truck.
Yep. Well, it happens. So, yeah, it's very helpful for that. Well, bring us another paragraph, just to show Lillian it's worth reading.
What do you mean if someone dies or... Are we going to have a special meeting, or are we going to wait till Thursday?
It'll take over the meeting. I mean, you know, somebody will come in here with their head hung low, and they'll say, I can't believe it, but, you know, died. My son, my father, my cat.
My cat.
You know, somebody will have a big death, and it happened once in a while, and they just came to Course in Miracles. I don't know where to go. We had a guy who almost killed himself. Maybe he's dead now. I don't know. But, you know, death does come up in this ego world and in the spiritual journey. Death really comes up. But boy, did Jesus hammer it with 167 and 163 and so many other places, like I'm showing you. It really is I keep thinking that rather than take a meeting to discuss it, we'll wait till somebody's actually dealing with it, and then we'll have the course serve it up on a silver platter. But anyway, I don't know why I told you that. So, Walt, go ahead.
Death cannot come from life.
I love that sentence!
Yes.
Ideas remain united to their source. They can extend all that their source contains. In that, they can go far beyond themselves. But they cannot give birth to what was never given them. As they are made, so will their maker making be. As they were born, so will they then give birth. And where they come from, there will they return.
Oh my God! He's just saying it like it is. And where that thought of slashing that guy came from, it would return to the same origin, which happened to be you. The idea of killing him would be realized by you. The killing, the death part. And you knew it. Mm-hmm. You felt it directly.
Yeah.
Direct short circuit back to the source. Yeah.
That feels like a miracle for me.
Death, mm-hmm. That's a miracle by force. the way he described it, man, it's pretty dramatic. Yeah.
I can never do that.
You know.
But not after that.
You know.
I can't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Turns out very good. Well, turns out. There's so many great phrases here, but we gotta stop. Well, we'll come back.
Let's have a circle.
Okay, so I dress like a prisoner. You guys all dress like egos.
Not here.
Okay.
There you go.
Take a deep breath. So, the world says death is an end. Of Course in Miracles says, used with the Holy Spirit, death is a beginning. Mm-hmm. Where the ego could die off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to have to kill something. Kill that!
Yeah, really.
That
really, I think it's just going to disappear.
Kill that. It just disappears because it was nothing.
Yeah.
So was death, it turned out. It was nothing. But it seems like something until then. So we'll use that too. Of Course in Miracles will use that too. And if you have death coming into your life, say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to look at this differently. Mm-hmm. Show me. Show me how to use this too. And in that confidence, you will start to feel the freedom we talked about. And even through death can bring some freedom. Yeah. Thank you. Happy Halloween. Amen.
Had a good one. It was right at the checkout stand. That would be a good
one. Yeah, after
he's
like,
so he's making such a fuss over you. You know what happened.
Sugar-free diet.
It's at my Uncle George lived.